You're listening to the West End Frame Show.
Hello and welcome to the West End Frame Show. I'm your host and West End Frame editor, Andrew Tomlins. And after 2 weeks off, I am so excited to be back. Not even the tube strikes could keep us away, right?
No.
And I'm even more excited to introduce you to today's co-host. So having trained at the London School of Musical Theatre, she recently made her professional debut as Tracy Turnblad in the UK tour of Hairspray. She's busy at the moment running her own creative hub for musical theatre workshops, masterclasses and private one-to-ones. She's also the best co-host ever because she's brought in a whole bag of treats, which I'm like eyeing up already. So excuse any munching that you might hear over the next 45 minutes. So a very warm welcome to the West End Frame Show, Katie Bray.
Hello, good morning. I'm so excited to be here. I've always wanted to do a podcast. I'm like in my element right now.
How does it feel? You've got the headphones.
I feel very, I'm ready. I feel very like authentic in a podcast.
I just feel like because we're sat around a piano, we can always do a bit of a sing song.
Oh yeah, I'd love that. What are we going to sing?
What would you want to sing?
Oh, I don't know. Not Hairspray.
No, let's do something like That's Life, the Smash arrangement.
Yes, you know, like, I'd love that. Yeah. Smash, yes.
Okay, well this is going to be our warm up and let's see how we go. How are you?
I'm good.
What's going on?
Oh, so much. I'm so busy.
What gear are you in? Because, I mean, actually, it sounds like you still kind of are in tour in a way, because you're still, like, going up north, down south, you're here, there, everywhere, so you're still kind of living that touring
dream.
Yeah,
I mean, I finished tour at the end of March, no, beginning of April, and I literally jetted straight to New York after that, just as kind of like a, well done, you got through 10 months. And then since then, I hate being bored. So I had to just create something to kind of keep me going. And that's when Katie Brace Creatives happened. And then that's why I just travel all around kind of doing workshops. It's kind of like still performing. I'm still performing like all the time, but I just can't stop. I can't sit still.
Do you like that mindset of, because some people find it hard, oh, I've got to pack a bag, I've got to be here, I've got to be there. But do you like that mindset of,
no. Yeah, I love it. I love, like, not being in the same place for too long. Mm-hmm. I love tour. I think that's what I loved about tour. Everyone's always like, oh, yeah, but you kind of, like, get settled and then you leave. And I'm like, no, that's great. On to the next place. And you just, like, getting to see new places and stuff, like, that for me was just, like, so good. But, yeah, just always busy. Mm-hmm. Everyone's always like, Katie, are you going to take a break? I'm like, no. I'm just going to continue until I'm old and grey, and then I'll retire.
What was it like saying goodbye to Tracy after those 10 months?
Oh, don't. I'll get emotional. Like,
oh, no.
She's such a big part of my life. And I think because the Tracy that I created, I don't think I could ever say goodbye to her because I grew with her, like, over the tour. And a lot of the people that I was on tour with kind of by the end of the tour were like, you're a different person, and it sounds so cringe, but like I owe that to kind of the character, and like helped me like basically like figure out what I was doing as an actor, like personally, professionally. So I haven't really said goodbye to her, and I mean the door is always open for Tracy, but it was sad. It was very, very emotional, and I had to do like a quick like rip the band-aid off with it and kind of not try not to think about it too much, because 10 months is like a long time. And especially when she deals with a lot as a person, and like I had to deal with a lot with it, so kind of leaving it was quite a harrowing time.
Okay, let's get this out of the way. You were an incredible Tracy.
Oh, thank you.
Like, were, you know, the energy, the comedy, like, amazing. But then, can we talk about the vocals, Katie? Like, you were out there doing the most, like, the most riffs and growls and things I've ever heard any
Not
Tracy
the growling.
Do.
I used to get in trouble for the growls.
Did you?
Yeah. Because especially at the start of the tour. So when I first started, she was just such a ball of energy, and my instinct was to just growl everything because I was just so excited. So I'd be like, ugh! And I'd be like, oh my goodness, like, stop. And I got to the point where, like, I didn't realise I was doing it. And my, like, the director was like, you know, you're growling a lot. And I'm like, am I? I'm not sure. But it came from, like, a nice place.
It came from a place of acting and character.
Yeah, it's such a character-driven kind of thing. And I think when you talk about energy and stuff, like, it came a lot from me as a person. Like, Tracy wasn't very far from me. And you'll probably get to know me in this podcast. But, like, my energy level and Tracy's energy level were not that dissimilar. So when people are like, was it, like, hard to keep the energy up? I'm like, actually, not really. Because, like, this is where I am already. So coming down, like, yeah, it's fine, like, don't worry about it.
But was there things that, as went on, little riffs that you started to put in because you were like, we're having fun now?
You know what, I am a true, like, perfectionist, and people would probably say on tour that you get the same show with me, like, a couple of different things, but vocally I'm quite I like to keep things safe and clean. Mm-hmm. So probably not. I didn't really let go as much with the vocals. I'd say that the thing that started to change as I went was more like the acting side of things. Mm. I was finding new things to do, new, like, comedy elements and, like, but vocally I tried to keep it.
It was incredible that you were singing like that 8 times a week. Like, it was just epic.
I know, it was crazy. I'm very grateful that I had a very healthy run. I think,
yeah, you were a machine. You were there.
I, apart from the time I got COVID, that was kind of the only time I had off for the show.
They could have had you, like, covering all the tracks as well. The split tracks.
At one point we had, like, nobody on stage.
I came one week and in Aylesbury for the first time, and I saw it again in Bromley, and it was like a different show in terms of.
So was Aylesbury the one where there was hardly anybody there?
There was hardly anybody there.
Where was Aylesbury?
That's where I remember, like, Richard Meek was off, and there was just two ensemble boys. I believe he did do it with one ensemble boy at one point, right, or something.
Yeah.
But
Blackpool. It was bleak.
But it was amazing, though. Everyone brought the energy and made it work.
Yeah, and I mean, for a show, like, it's such an energetic show. So does an audience really realise that there was 7 missing cast members? Probably not. And if they do,
they wouldn't know.
Everybody was so understanding. We were at a time where, like, there was no way to not do the show like that. Like, it was either cancel the show or give as best of a show. Make it happen. And we only had a few cancellations. We had, like, maybe 5, which I think is good going. I saw shows that were out for, like, weeks on end. We were really, really lucky and grateful that we were able to do our job.
And you must have had insane responses. I mean, that this show speaks to so many people, so many of the characters speak to so many people, but so many people relate to Tracy. And it must be amazing and overwhelming to get those responses everywhere you go.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there were some places that were, like, electrifying as, like, an actor. And luckily we did. Some places that we went were incredible. For example, Liverpool, just the reception, like, and obviously it's so big and you just get that huge, like, audience reception. And Manchester, we did that twice, so we did it, like, between Belfast, and that was amazing. And then obviously I went home.
So did you go to Sunderland?
Oh my god, like, the best thing. And it wasn't like the Saturday, the Friday night, it was every single night, like, just cheering, whooping, like, I could hear how much fun everybody was having. And I mean, that helps the kind of atmosphere on stage. And to be honest, like, the show itself has so much energy. But when an audience gets behind you from the beginning, it's really helpful, because there are some venues where it's a lot quieter and it's difficult to kind of get going, especially because I'm on stage, like, the whole show. And I get my energy from the audience sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You need them to carry you through almost.
Yeah. And sometimes it's like, oh, okay, we're quiet today, especially some of the matinees. Aylesbury matinee, there was like 7 people in the audience.
Oh, no.
I mean, it was fine. And I mean, by the end, the 7 people are standing up. But yeah, it was the audience, such a vital part of that show. Mm. And as you say, they come for all the different characters, not just for Tracy. They come for Seaweed and Edna and Wilbur and Link and everybody.
Yeah. The different people, there's strong messages in there, and different people get different things mm-hmm. and different characters. Are you ready to get a bit stagey with me and dive in
yes.
and have a stagey
let's
catch
go,
up?
Let's go, let's
you
go.
Look scared. Don't be scared. We have lots to talk about. You're going to love it. So
okay. Coming
up, we are going to be discussing Grease and Lift, as well as all the latest news about Into the Woods, Dear Evan Hansen, Come For Away, and lots, lots more. Okay, so first up, let's discuss some theatre news from the past couple of weeks I've been away. So this got me so excited, the news about Into the Woods transferring mm-hmm. to Broadway. Oh my gosh, we need to talk about your Broadway trip in a sec. Mm-hmm. So we found out that the starry encore staging of Into the Woods by Stephen Sondheim and James Lapine is coming to Broadway. So the production was done at New York City Centre for 2 weeks in May, and it's now coming into the St. James Theatre from the 28th of June for literally just 8 weeks. And leading the cast, we have Patina Miller as the witch, original Dolores in Sister Act and mm-hmm. Pippin Zane. Brian Darcy James, the original Shrek as the baker. Joshua Henry, who was just in Carousel on Broadway, he's playing Rapunzel's prince. Philippa Sue, original Eliza in Hamilton, is starring as Cinderella. Sarah Bareilles, mm-hmm. writer and often star of Waitress. I always did Waitress in the accent. she is playing the baker's wife. And then Gavin Creel, who we know from the Book of Mormon over here and from Hair over here, is playing the wolf and Cinderella's prince. Can you deal?
No, what a lineup.
It is the most insane Broadway starry cast ever.
Do you think it'll get extended?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? 8 weeks is nothing.
I know, and it's probably schedules, isn't it? Having all those people, you're not going to be able to keep them for longer than 8 weeks, are you?
But the compromise would be if they could film it.
Yes.
And then compromise. Stream it or pop it somewhere that we could all watch it. That would be the best thing ever.
I don't know how I feel about... I've got a mix of feelings about, like, recording things.
What are your thoughts?
I don't really want it recorded. I feel like we're at such a time, especially at the moment, where theatre is, like, is struggling a little bit. I think yes, okay, it's accessible, but like I'd love you to come to the theatre, like keep our like jobs and stuff. Like I fear that a lot produce like more productions and stuff are gonna fail because of the lack of people attending theatres. So that just is another thing to add for people not to go. Sorry, being devil's advocate here.
No, I hear what you're saying. I think it like depends on.
The production, I suppose.
It depends on the show and the outreach, and sometimes it can almost entice more people to come to the theatre.
Yeah, I suppose Into the Woods would be a really good one to record.
Because it'd be like, it's almost like an event, isn't it? It's like such a rarity.
Yeah, I mean, with that lineup as well. I mean, yeah, okay, I'll give you
but
that
you're
one.
Like, let's not film Hairspray because I want to go back on tour.
Yeah!
tell me about New York.
Oh. Amazing.
Was that your first time?
No, I've been a few times.
And did you see shows?
Yeah.
What did you see? Oh, my God, I'm so jealous.
What did I see? Mrs. Doubtfire. Loved it. Absolutely. Oh, I'm so sad it's coming off Broadway. However, I do understand why it's coming off Broadway.
Why?
It's going to do so well here. I just know it. Because it's the English humour. It's kind of... Americans probably didn't like it because... they probably didn't understand as much, maybe. But the humour is so on the nose and so good. And I mean, the cast, wow. Amazing. Like, incredible.
What's the music like?
Great. Like, kind of a mix between... it's really weird. Like, Waitress meets Come From Away meets Dear Evan Hansen. It's really...
okay.
It's like stagey... but like great orchestrations, like great musical numbers, choreography, amazing. There's so much happens, like so much goes on. It's so clever as well. And where you, like, what, there's no lack in anything. Like, for me, I sat there and I was like, this is full. And it made me, like, feel all, like, good. And I know, I love that about a musical, when you sit there and you finish and you go, I got everything I wanted from that. Sometimes you leave a musical going, oh, I wish there was more of this or more of that, or I would have done this. I sat there and didn't think anything else. Like, I loved every second of it. So yeah, that was Mrs. Doubtfire. And then
you should be sat in this chair.
I know. And then I went and saw Beetlejuice.
Oh, I saw Beetlejuice when I was in New York last time.
And I loved it. I'm so negative. But I didn't love the Lydia. I thought she was a great actress. Vocally, I wasn't so thrilled with it. But I don't know whether she was just sick, maybe.
Yeah.
Which we all have those days, so I don't want to judge her, because like I've had days where I've been like...
It's an amazing show, isn't it? It's crazy.
With all the like things coming out, I was like, ooh!
And if you haven't heard the music before, the way it starts as well with that opening number...
And I mean, that flip.
So in your face.
You know, the flip.
Yes.
I'm not going to go into details, I don't want, in case anyone's going to see it. But the flip halfway through, I'm like, oh, it's so clever. Everything was clever. And
the set, everything.
Yeah, like, so good. However, that was the only thing, like, I left going, having listened to,
I can't remember her name, the original, yeah, who I saw.
She was amazing. And do you know when you just think, Oh!
I would love Beetlejuice to come over here, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Do you think it will?
I don't think it will come over in that with that production. I think it would get a different production.
But then I wouldn't want to see it. No, I would. I still got to see it. But that production is amazing. Amazing.
And then what else did you see?
I went to see Phantom.
Oh!
Because Phantom's my favourite musical.
Is it?
Yeah. I know, how weird. Like, proper left field.
Have you got a Christine in you?
Mm-hmm.
Do you do?
I do, but like this industry, eh? I'd never be Christine, which is very sad. Well, maybe one day I would be. I'm probably more of a Carlotta.
Yes.
Get that top soprano out. She's kind of like Christine, but like more whingy. and like a bit more sassy.
Also, you can play Carlotta until like for years and years and years.
Yeah, but Phantom has always been my favourite, and I've seen it so many times here in London, so many different Christines. But I wanted to see it on Broadway.
Who's your favourite Christine, and who's your favourite Phantom?
So I love Holly, who's the alternate.
Oh, Holly Ann Holt. Yeah.
I thought she.
I need to go and see her.
I think she.
And I need to go and see Lisa St. Lewis.
Yes. I've seen so many, but Holly Ann Holt is
a lot of people
favorite.
Have said that Holly, yeah. A few people have said to me that Holly's got the most stunning, clear, pure voice.
Crystal clear, and it's beautiful. The Broadway Christine was amazing. I saw the alternate on Broadway as well.
Right, okay.
And she was beautiful. And the whole production is different to London. A little bit. It's not as scaled back as London.
Oh, I see. Yeah, they still have the original, but we have the tour version. Yeah.
Yeah, so it was interesting to see that.
I've seen Phantom on Broadway, yeah, because it's the only show that has a Thursday matinee on Broadway.
Yeah.
So I've like gone to see it to like utilise
the
slot.
I saw the Thursday matinee.
Did you? Yeah. Just like utilise the time. Yeah. I wish more shows had different slots on Broadway.
I know. And I saw Music Man.
Oh, wow.
And I saw it on Broadway Cares today. So I actually saw Hugh Jackman's glove go for $20,000.
No.
Yep. $20,000. Sutton Foster and himself signed.
They go for a lot. People don't know. Broadway Cares is an amazing charity, and all the shows do big things to fundraise. So, for example, when I saw Mean Girls on Broadway, they brought out Tina Fey afterwards to do with some sort of auction thing. They get every show. It's like a competition to see who can raise the most money.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, so Hugh Jackman's glove went for $20,000.
Well, yeah, so we got to the end of the show and I knew that we were going to be doing something because I'd seen Phantom earlier that day and they were like, they stopped the show and they were like, if you would like a signed poster, it's $100. And I was like, great, okay. So then I went to see Music Man. I was like, I knew it was coming. They were going to do a little speech. I was like, Hugh Jackman's going to talk, woohoo. So there he is up on stage and he's like, okay, we're going to have a little auction. I was like, what are they going to auction? And he takes off his glove and he's like, me and Sutton are both going to sign this glove. These gloves, maybe one each, and we're going to auction it off. So it got to like $9,000, and I'm sitting in the audience like, who's got $9,000 to spare on a glove?
And I'm like, theater, yeah.
So that these people are like full on bidding, like me. And then we got to $9,000, and I was like, surely not. And these two women in the audience were like back and forth, and it got to $9,000, and it was about to go to 10, and the woman in the front row who was in on the bidding, she said, I'll match you. So, and she looked up at Hugh Jackman and she was like, and he was like, I can sign another glove. So they both matched each other at $10,000, which I thought was so lovely.
Wow.
$20,000 for Broadway Cares. Like, imagine incredible. How much like that could do. So
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
It was such a gorgeous moment to just watch like it all happen. And I mean, you could also get a signed poster for $500.
Ooh.
So I'd been to Phantom at there were 100 earlier on in the day, and we went to Music Man and there were $500.
Yeah.
So I mean, I did pass on the signed poster, but I mean, it was an amazing experience.
Amazing experience. Oh my gosh, I'm so jealous. I am so jealous. I need to get me back to Broadway as soon as possible. Let's go. Oh, I'm there. Sad news, Dear Evan Hansen has announced that it is closing in the West End. So we have those incredible cast in there right now. The show is going to wrap up its run on the 22nd of October, 3 years after it first opened at the Noel Coward Theatre. Although, of course, it was shut down for about a year and a half. It's so sad, isn't it, when we get these announcements?
I haven't actually got to see it yet.
Oh, well, you have to go.
I need to go. I mean, they've done so much, haven't they? Like, on TV and
yes.
Like they're always on like the different shows, aren't they? And I mean, Sam is amazing. And
so I've seen it twice over here, but I still haven't seen Sam Tutty do it.
Oh really?
I've seen his alternate both times, so I need to try and see him do it.
Yeah, it's sad, isn't it? It's
yeah.
Like, and it's strange because you'd think that something like that, that's such a like phenomenon, like and in theatre, would stay for a while.
It's interesting. I think over here maybe it hasn't been as huge of a like a mass hysteria. It's been really well received and people have loved it. But it's almost it's not like a big commercial musical necessarily. I think it's a shame, but I hope that it tours. I hope that it continues because I think a lot of people get a lot from it and it's representing kind of young people in a certain way in this social media savvy world, which is kind of really great to see. And I think it's done some great work. So I when I went to see it recently, I was actually like, oh my gosh, I've forgotten how amazing it is. When I was on the plane, so I've just been away, they had the Dear Evan Hansen film. I still haven't watched it. And I didn't watch it on the plane, but I was like, oh, I must need to watch need to watch the film.
I started it on the way back from New York.
Yeah.
But I just there's something about it. Ben Platt playing a school-aged person.
Schoolboy, yeah. With
I'm just,
CGI.
I'm not. I'm just not sure.
I need to watch it. I need to watch because I saw him do it on Broadway, and oh my gosh,
really
incredible. So yeah, I need to see that. On the topic of Broadway, in some other news, Jane Colella is returning to Come From Away on Broadway for a limited run to reprise her performance as Beverly Bass, whilst Rachel Tucker is back in London to do some filming. I mean, Jane Colella is so insane. Just pop back to Come From Away for 6 weeks is mad. So exciting. Kayla Carter and Lauren Byrne will lead the cast for Unheard, a concert celebrating unknown or cut songs from musicals at the Arts Theatre later this month.
This is exciting, isn't it?
That's
like all
cool.
Those like cheeky little cut songs that are amazing.
My fave is Making Good from Wicked, which was The Wizard and I replaced it, and I love hearing that in concerts. It's such a good song.
I'm excited because you'd never hear these songs, would you?
No, I know.
You never would. And some of the songs are like the best songs, but they just weren't able to fit them in like perfectly. Mm-hmm. Maybe the story didn't work, or yeah. So it'll be good to hear.
That's a really cool concept. Really cool concept for a concert. Richard Katz is joining Cabaret as Herr Schultz, whilst Fralfi and Amy Lennox have extended their runs until October, and they are amazing. And Broadway star Felicia Boswell will take over from Beverly Knight as Faye Treadwell in The Drifter's Girl in the West End. And she is a big Broadway star, Felicia. She actually played, she starred in Memphis before on Broadway, which obviously then Beverly did in the West End. And oh my God, I have a feeling that she's going to set the Garrick Theatre on fire, and I cannot wait to go and see her.
I haven't seen Drifter's Girl yet, so that's an excuse to go.
Did you? I need to watch, actually. Beverly Knight performed on Britain's Got Talent last night on Sunday.
I haven't seen it yet. I've seen a clip of a little bit of.
I saw a tiny clip of Lizzie B hitting an amazing note.
Yes, I did. Yeah, I saw that. She's amazing.
Did you ever talk? Because obviously she was your London Tracy whilst you were on tour.
We didn't talk whilst on tour, but I was in for West End when Lizzie was too. So we spoke a little bit then. But yeah, I think the perfect thing about both our Tracys was that they were very different, and I loved that.
Oh my gosh, so you were in for Tracy before in London. So was Tracy like a role that was?
Tracy was the only thing in my audition path. Like it was everything. It was one Tracy after the next. It was destined to be a thing.
Did the tour auditions come after the town auditions?
Yes.
You went.
So town was September.
Did you get right through to the end? Mm-hmm. Oh gosh. Were you in that Michael Ball audition? Mm-hmm. Oh no.
Yeah, me, Natalie, and Lizzie.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it is what it is. But actually, I'm grateful because
10 months
in a production that was allowed me so creatively to create a character. I'm so grateful to Mark Goucher and to my director Paul Garrison. Just incredible. And Drew McCorney, like, they allowed me to create such a difference in Tracy that's never been seen before, and I'm not sure whether I would have been allowed to do that with the production that's been going for so long. So I'm grateful.
Yeah.
Kind of one door opens, one door closes, another one opens, kind of vibe.
It all worked out.
It all worked out in the end, it's fine.
Should I tell you what shows that I've seen?
Yeah.
Do you know what? We were going to talk about Grease, actually. Oh. I'm not here to cast you, but maybe there's a bit of like a Jan vibe going on.
Yeah. He's also in for that.
This is not going well. So anyway, I went to see Grease.
I went to see Grease 2.
Oh, have you seen it?
Yeah.
But you saw Grease 2 or are you still going Grease 2. I'm obsessed with Grease 2. Cool,
really?
Ride. Yeah. Oh my gosh, you disagree?
The one in the bunker?
Yeah, and that cool rider.
Oh yeah.
That cool rider. I don't know if this might be before your time, but there was
a
production.
How young do you think I am?
I mean, well, yes, you were the same age, but were you in London when the Cool Rider production was here? Because I basically started doing this when I was like 18, 17. So I've seen everything for a long time. They did Grease 2 as a musical in the West End, and it ran for like two weeks. Yeah, it was incredible.
Oh, really? Okay.
Oh my gosh, there's a cast album from it, and it's better than the film cast album.
Oh,
Ashley
really?
Gray,
okay.
Former Elphaba, played the lead, and her belting out
Cool Rider. I have to have a listen to that.
She got on the stepladder. Oh my gosh, it was honestly the best thing ever. Sorry. That was a really bad pun, because like, I saw Grease 2, and I was like, oh, I love Grease 2.
Oh, no, Grease 2. Oh, right. No, I saw Grease.
I know. I'm just being horrible. So we both saw Grease. Okay, great. This worked out so well. So this is a brand new production. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it started at Curve, like Hairspray, went off on tour. Oh, then it came into the West End. Wouldn't that be nice if that could happen with Grease as well? With Hairspray as well. Anyway, so this is, it's being described as this kind of grittier version, isn't it? That's what they're all kind of shouting about. And it's put back into the show some of the original music. So people get confused with Grease. So they think it obviously was a film first, but actually, we hardcore staging people know.
The same as Hairspray. People go and they're like, why is Lady's Choice not in the musical? I'm like, because Lady's Choice came after.
Yeah.
Like, also, like, It Takes Two is great.
Exactly, stop. Exactly. So originally Grease was a musical. Then when the film came out, they kind of reworked the musical to put in some of the new songs, and also they didn't, not all the songs could have made it back in. But now in this new version, they've gone back and they've put in 4 songs which were cut from the musical back into the musical. So there's actually a song called Grease. And it's just a very different production. What's interesting is that Arlene Phillips has choreographed this production. She also choreographed the last production of Grease that we had, but it's, which I remember really well. I saw that on my 13th birthday. Do you remember there was that TV show where they cast Susan McFadden and I think was it Danny Bane as the lead?
Oh, yeah.
Zanita was a judge and David Guest was a judge.
It was kind of like the time when they did all the like Andrew Lloyd Webber stuff, wasn't
like
it?
This Simon Cowell's ITV rival casting show. So I saw it twice in 2 weeks for my 13th birthday because both my mum and my uncle got me tickets for Grease for my birthday. I saw it 2 Fridays in a row. Anyway, that production was amazing. I have such fond memories of seeing it. And I think that was maybe, you know, you get those people that love the film and that was maybe quite true to the film.
Mm-hmm.
Whilst being an amazing production. Yeah. I remember there's lots of amazing stuff in there. Mm-hmm. This is very different. This is the departure. But you know what? Well, I have 2 things to say. I think, first of all, like, the whole gritty thing, like, I'm like, does Grease need to be gritty? Like, no, it doesn't. Is this production really gritty? I don't think it is. There's kind of some bits where it maybe touches on a bit of a dark thing where they have kind of the police are kind of patrolling and but I don't think that's necessary. But what I love about this production is that it feels fresh, and you've got some different takes on the roles, and it also feels like it's a real ensemble show.
Mm-hmm.
I think you kind of almost Danny and Sandy kind of get forgotten about almost at some.
I know.
Bits.
I watched it and I was like, "Where's Sandy?" I thought Danny was going to get with Patty. Shout out to Jess Kroll, Amber from Hairspray, who is
amazing.
Slaying as Patty Simcox at the moment.
All of these people, right? This ensemble cast—they all kind of get their moment, and they're all like living their
amazing.
Best life. I just need to talk about Jocasta Armgill, who plays Rizzo. And I mean, I love her. She did a great In the Frame episode, but I just could not take my eyes off her. Every step she took was just seducing me on that stage. And then her vocals, just the kind of little things she was slipping in. But everything, every detail, like, I loved her costume and loved her hair. Just everything about her, Rizzo, was absolute perfection. And she's somebody who I've seen in so many shows over the years, working her way up in ensembles and covering and in the Heights, covering 100 roles. And here she is having this West End leading lady moment and literally showing everybody exactly what she can do. And it was the best thing ever.
Yeah, I agree. I think they were so perfectly matched, everybody, with their their other half.
So well cast.
Yeah, and I love what they did with what did they do? Is it Dude? Not Doody. Oh. Roger. With Roger. I love that. I love that change. And if you don't know the change, you'd never realise. But I thought it was really clever. Everyone was just great. And I agree, the story, like, does it need to be changed? You know, no, I don't really think so, but I get what they're doing.
I'm like, fair play.
Yeah, and the choreography is just...
Isn't it insane?
Crazy.
I was watching all those ensemble people. Like, how are you doing this?
And do you know what I said when I was with my friend? I said, they filled that stage. They filled the Dominion. Like, what? Like, and you didn't, I didn't
with
feel...
With a simple, like, it's a simple
so
design.
So simple, so simple.
So you would think that maybe if someone showed me that set box or that they to explain the concept, I would be like, oh, that's going to look quite empty in the Dominion. But actually, I think you're right. I think it's testament to Arlene Phillips. That choreography, and also testament to that ensemble, work so hard and they make it look so good. I actually really think that it's an ensemble show. It's amazing to see everybody living their best life.
I agree.
And do you know what? Peter Andre is there giving us his teen angel. Is it Vince Fontaine? And do you know what? I lived for Peter Andre.
He brought the energy. You know what it is? I hate seeing a show where it's kind of stunt casted. And, you can tell that they're getting paid a lot of money to be there and just sing the song. Whereas I feel like Pete Andre is getting stuck in.
He's still probably being paid a lot of money.
Yeah, still granted being paid a lot of money. But you can see that he's got team spirit. He's really kind of going for it, bless him.
Do you know what? When we went into, I went to like a rehearsal press event and normally those things are always quite weird and it's going to be a bit awkward. He came right up to, he came up to me actually and was like, oh, hi, how are you doing? Buzzing. I'm coming for you to see this. Oh. I was talking to everybody. He's just friendly and nice. And you know what? People often aren't like that. But anyway, that aside, he can sing. Like Peter Andre
can
sing. And he's also doesn't take himself too seriously. You know, he can do Beauty School Dropout with some angel wings on his back and then just kind of strut around, and he kind of loves it.
Yeah, he does.
And you know what? The audience love it as well, and that's going to get people in. They're going to enjoy it. They're going to enjoy everybody. They're going to love Pete. And I just think the whole thing works quite nicely.
Yeah, and I think it is one of those shows where it does work. There are shows where I don't think it works.
Yeah.
For instance, the Gemma Collins situation.
Oh, she went there. Oh, that was...
But then Brenda's now doing it. So, you know...
Queen Brenda Edwards is staying back.
She's gone back in and I'm actually going to see her this week.
Are you?
Yeah. I'm going to go and see her this week and I cannot wait to see her. But
When Brenda Edwards came on at the end of that one of hers, right?
Oh, I know. Everyone screams.
Gosh.
But yeah, like, that's what it should have been from the start. If you're going to, like, stunt cast or put a celebrity in there, at least put someone like Brenda Edwards in there who has, you know, worked hard, and she proves herself every role that she does, and she's an amazing actress, singer. I mean, she does dance as well. Triple threat is Brenda Edwards. We love her.
Slash, I mean, I would love to see Gemma Collins on a stage.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but it's... I'm like,
know, she went to... I know, is it Conti's or Sylvia's? She went
to Sylvia, I think. And I'm like, great, but did we know that this was going to happen from the start? I'm sure it was going to always happen. Sorry.
Katie,
I'm sorry.
You are good. No, this is what we need. Forget, you know, Brenda should watch out for that seat on Loose Women. Katie is coming for it.
Do you know what it is? I did say to Brenda while we were doing Hairspray, I was like, I would love to be on Loose Women. Can you make that happen? She was like, I think you could be in the audience. Like, I want to be on the panel. That'd be great.
The other show that I saw just before I went away was Lift. Do you know Lift?
Do you know what it is? Lift has such a vivid place in my memory because when I was at college, I'm talking before LSMT, I used to sing It's Been a Year, like, all
it's
the time.
It's been a year, this will take time.
Yeah, I used to sing it a lot, and it was it was a song that, like...
I'm pleased.
Yeah, a song that I love singing, and I just think the music in Lift is
correct.
Great. And what a great concept. Like,
correct.
Crazy, just being a Lift.
Honestly,
you know?
I love Lift, and I saw that original production 10 years ago. Cynthia Erivo, Julie Atherton, Nikki Davis-Jones,
vocals
George McGuire. And it was before Cynthia had done Colour Purple at the Menier.
Well, actually, she came into my college around that time. She was doing that, and she talked about it all, and I was like...
Because she did it, it's been a year, that was her character. So yeah, if you don't know anything about Lift, let me try and explain it to you. So Lift is set in a London underground lift in one man's imagination on its way to the surface during 1 minute. 1 minute in a lift. So in the 54 seconds of Lift's passage, we are taken on a much longer journey, because the show is not 60 seconds, don't worry, that reveals the people behind the masks they wear, the secrets they dare not speak, and the unrealised connections between them. Okay, so it's almost like it like verges on Song Cycle, but you've got this very clever, woven story. And the way that I've always kind of looked at it is it's like almost like a metaphorical lift where you have your strangers stood there and then we delve into their lives and they start to weave together a little bit and intertwine. So essentially it's like you never know who you're stood next to, what they're going through and how things kind of connect up. So I think it's clever, and I have such fond memories of that original production. I went to its press night. I went again two more times. Lived for every second. All 60 seconds. So I was so excited when this was announced and to go back and see it. And this production, directed by Dean Johnson, with new arrangements by Sam Young, the musical director, is so fresh. They've completely done a different thing with it, from the design, from to the style. Sam's arrangements just really make things... how do I explain it? They almost like they slow down some bits. They bring out some different vibes within the score. Lift is so detailed. So written by Craig Adams and Ian Watson. And there's just so much in there, isn't there? Like, it's been a year, and Lost in Translations. That Lost in Translations is so cleverly written, this song.
Yes.
About this character whose girlfriend has just up and left her, and she doesn't understand it, but she's a French teacher, and it's Lost in Translations, and the lyrics are just so...
Everything's clever. Just clever.
And you know what? I remember when I saw Lift the first time, it is a bit complicated, and there's lots in there to discover. I remember doing an interview with Julie Atherton, who was in it and did the workshop originally. And she said she said during the run, she would go up to Craig and be like, hang on, is this and this? Does that mean that? And he'd be like, yes. She'd be like, what? And I remember listening, I think it was Lost in Translations. It was my alarm clock. And I was listening to it in the morning one day as it woke me up. And I was like, oh, I shouldn't get it. I'd something just clicked.
Yeah.
So there's so much to discover in there. I think this production isn't as focused as the original production. I don't know if that makes sense, that terminology makes sense. There's something, see, look, I'm one of those people that's now, when I was starting out 10 years ago as a theatre critic, right, I hated other critics who were like, well, I saw the original production 10 years ago. I'd be like, well, bitch, I'm watching this production, blah, 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 blah. Whereas now I'm one of the people who's like, well,
I saw the original production
and I hate myself for it, but I can't help but compare. I think this production almost feels kind of crazier.
Do you think it's just for a younger audience, maybe? Because I think it's a very young creative team. Annie, who
choreographed.
I love that. I met Annie like years and years ago. We did Stagecoach together.
Shout out.
Stagecoach, all them times
represent.
Ago.
Represent.
We did like the London production that all the stage coaches do, and I met her years and years ago, and it's so good to see like people our age doing like amazing things, and maybe it is just a bit, and do you know what, it's daring, isn't it? Everybody is
taking, they've got a concept and it works,
everyone's taking those steps nowadays, that to just push it that bit further, see how far you can push it. I mean, it's not on it. Is it still on?
It's still on.
Okay, I need to get to it.
Trust me, it's running until the 18th of June at the Southwark Playhouse.
I need to get myself there.
Can I just say, we have amazing people. Heba El Sheik is unreal, just the most perfect voice. And then Kaylee McKnight, she plays the French teacher. So she sings Lost in Translations. And I lost my damn mind. She is so... Kaylee McKnight is such a star. And I just... Somebody needs to cast her. As, you know, she could be playing Cinderella in the West End. She could be playing Elphaba in the West End. She needs to play Regina George and Mean Girls. She should be any queen in six. She has the most unreal voice.
Tone for days.
A voice that can do anything. But obviously we know she can belt and riff, but when it's at its purest, most simple, it just sounds stunning and I want to eat it.
She has original music as well.
She does have original music, which is amazing. And anyway, it was just so phenomenal to watch her in such an intimate space and to watch her up close. I just felt so lucky. She's amazing. But this whole cast are amazing and work so, so hard. And do you know what? I just could listen to this show for days. And to have it back in London is such a treat. And I really hope that it pops up at Edinburgh Fringe one year and that we get it, you know, at the Union. I just want to see it in London more. I'd always be interested to see how different people interpret it in different
ways. It's one of those shows where, like, a different creative team each time would be such a cool concept. And how many different versions of Lift could we do? And the possibilities are endless with different creative teams.
Who could Katie Brace play?
Cast with me.
So what I'm saying, I think Lift is a complicated show. I think it's quite detailed. I don't think it's for everybody, but I think if you're like proper hardcore MT, you love good music, good vocals, you want something to think about and to unpick, go and see it. And you know, I remember that original production, I took a friend with me who knew nothing about theatre really, and she loved it. And I'm going to go and see this production again. I'm going to take her 10 years later back to see it. So I would say it's worth taking a chance on. It's worth having a look at. It's small, intimate, it's strong. Southwark Playhouse, 18th of June. And because I haven't done a podcast for 3 weeks, I've forgotten how to do this. And I forgot to say that Greece runs at the Dominion Theatre until Saturday, the 29th of October. Right, before we wrap up, I told you this would go quickly, wouldn't I? Tell me more about Katie Brace Creatives.
Okay, so it's my little... I'm here. Okay. So it all started because I was doing... I've always done workshops. I've always taught. The creative side of this industry has
what I love,
been my
you
passion.
Told me before we started, you went to Stagecoach. So you went to... Yeah. You were like...
Yeah,
you,
I was
you came
a stagecoach
from that
baby.
World,
I was
and now you're on
five.
The, and now
yeah.
you're on the other side of it. Now you're teaching people
yeah.
in that world.
So I'm
giving back.
I've always taught. And it's such a big part of my life. I love teaching. I love teaching kids that are the future of this industry. I love seeing a child that you can see that they have such a love for theatre, and being able to nourish and kind of help them figure out their path is something that gives me so much joy, along with kind of directing and choreographing is such a passion of mine. I love performing, don't get me wrong, but there's something like directing gives me such a buzz. So I knew that when I finished tour, I wanted to get something else out of it. So when I was doing my workshops for Hairspray and kind of around the country and booking these in, my personal Instagram became flooded and I couldn't kind of decipher the personal between the business. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to take the leap and create a page and see what happens. And it kind of like went somewhere. And now I'm not able to do all these workshops myself. So I've got friends and fellow performers that are teachers too, that teach so many different workshops, working for me. And we are trying to create a space where you can book any musical theatre workshop and have somebody come in and teach. And it's so important to me to give back and allow children to kind of experience what it's like to work with a West End or a touring professional, or be just ask questions. The kids don't often get the chance to go, so when I audition for drama school, do I need to do this or can I do this? And it's like, it's a chance for them to ask the questions that maybe their teachers don't particularly know or would tell them, or they'd find out. So for me, Katie Brace Creatives, said in my Macam accent, I do have a T in my name.
Katie Brace Creatives.
Yeah, it's a space where I'm hoping that it grows into something really beautiful for our industry, and as getting as many people on board as possible. So kind of watch this space for masterclasses and workshops with professionals. We have so much going on. We have a summer school this summer. And
oh, where's that?
Up in the Northeast. So if you are a Northeast performer and you're training at the moment, and if you fancy coming along to our masterclasses or workshop week, give us a follow, give us an email, and we would love to have you.
So it's Katie Brace Creatives on Instagram.
And we have Facebook. We have a Facebook page. And if you want to email us, it's just katiebracecreatives@gmail.com. And I can give you all the information there.
Woo! Have I missed anything else that you're up to? I mean, you're busy.
Well, I'm actually in the... me and my friend Rob were in the process of starting a podcast ourselves.
Are you?
We were in the process of doing it, but times...
Who's Rob?
Robert Wilson-Baker, who runs Spark FM's kind of like Sunday, like kind of like Elaine Page.
Which I've been on as
a
guest.
And I've done it too. I did it when we were doing Hairspray. We kind of always butting heads with like... what should we do? Like, we need to do something. So, like, a podcast or something, like a YouTube series or something like that would be really fun. Just because we both love chatting, as you can tell from this podcast, I just like to chat. So, yeah, something like that. I also, I've always wanted to start a YouTube channel, but I've never really had the...
You should do it.
But, you know, it's like, I just did so many takeovers with Hairspray, and I kept saying to people, I'm not the right person for this because I'm literally on stage the whole time. So I used to just like hand my phone over to people. But when I did get to do the other stuff, I was like, oh, this is kind of fun. But it's quite self-indulgent, isn't it? It's quite self-indulgent. And it's like, do I want to go there? I'm not sure. So maybe...
What, do you know the podcast is called yet that you were
No,
doing?
We have so many ideas. But it's kind of just going to be... A little bit more, I would love it to be a little bit more of a, like an educational kind of podcast.
Ooh,
but
kind about theatre?
Yeah, about like drama school and answering people's questions every week on drama school. Because I don't really think there's anything kind of like that. Like,
but you could tell that I'm with Katie Bray's Creatives.
I could. Yeah, I could. But something like that would be fun. But yeah, that's kind of what I'm up to. Kind of, Katie Bray's Creatives is my main priority at the moment, along with auditioning and getting things up and running. But... I'm always up for having a good time. I'm also going to be a singing waiter soon. That's really fun. How funny.
Where are you doing that?
Vienna.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to Vienna to be a singing waiter.
For how long?
Oh, just a day.
Oh, my gosh.
Just a flying visit. But I think that's quite fun, right?
That's crazy.
Put on the CV.
Spotlight going up.
Hairspray, Tracy Turnblad, singing waiter. You know what it is? This is the industry. This is the way that the industry works. You've got to do it. You've got to make that money.
Listen, I'm so thankful and grateful for you coming down. People need to, you travel down here to do this.
Oh, yes, but I wouldn't miss it for the world.
And it's been a long time coming. I have a present for you.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I love presents. What is this?
We'll dive in. It be.
How do I
rip
open
that?
It?
Rip that tape off.
Is it a cup?
A cup? Well, we can upgrade you. We can do better than a cup.
Oh! I'm trying to get the sellotape off. Do some ASMR.
Don't. Yeah. Yay!
Yay! I've always wanted one!
It's your mug! A West End frame.
Me mug!
Mug!
I'm going to put my coffee in it. Oh, I love it. Thank you so much.
Not at all. Thank you. You're amazing. I'm so glad. People, I really hope that one day people get to your Tracy again.
I hope so.
Because...
Watch me on Blue Peter.
Go on YouTube and watch a Blue Peter performance. And thank you so much for listening to this episode of the West End Frame Show. Make sure you subscribe. If you enjoyed today's episode, you can leave us an Apple Podcast rating and review. We love hearing from you, so follow West End Frame on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can check out our interviews podcast, In the Frame. This week's guest is Scott Hunter, star of The Play That Goes Wrong. And I'll be back next week for another stagey catch-up. Thank you, Katie!
Thank you!